Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything is the Thursday show with Martin Moore, Steve Glenn. Today, education and graduation. It is indeed spring commencement season. UWM's graduation was last weekend and featured more than 3,000 graduates and a great speech from former Fiserv CEO Jeff Ibuki. Marquette, UW, MSOE, Steve Glenn's alma mater, all held their ceremonies 2 weekends ago. MSOE's speakers were Matt Bureau from Three Leaf Partners, a development company that was co-founded by the Bucks' Pat Connington, and SysLogic's Tina Chang, a cybersecurity and technology expert. Well, actually, I just saw Tina on Monday. We talked about some segments for the show, so she may be coming on the upswing in the future. Marquette's speaker, if you missed the Marquette commencement, was Dr. Shatala Vora. She's the CEO of Global Bridges, a health and sustainable development nonprofit. And at Madison, a couple weeks ago, the speaker was Megan Dugan, a Olympic hockey gold medalist and former Badger. We're going to hear and talk about her speech a bit later in the show. And this week, a lot of MPS schools have graduation, as well as next week. So today, it's all education and all graduation. Maybe not the future of graduation, per se, but we're going to look into the future as we analyze the present. That's how we roll on the upswing. But first, Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, is the future of education Khan Academy? You know what Khan Academy is?
Yes.
So the national kind of technology-based infrastructure product. So Khan Academy, their new AI assistant, will now be free to all K through 12 teachers in the United States, thanks to a new deal from Microsoft, the company said Tuesday during the Microsoft Build conference. So they're donating access to this infrastructure to teachers to use for free who previously had to pay a monthly subscription fee. Now they're going to cover that whole cost and bring AI into the classroom at the elementary level. What do you think AI's impact will be in the classroom, especially in the elementary level?
It's going to be interesting, and I think at the very least, we are going to teach kids how to think in different ways, solve problems in different ways, especially when you think about sort of how most of us are using AI today. It's we have this core knowledge in our heads, our core experiences in our heads. And a lot of us, or a lot of the people that I see in my circle using it, are automating tasks that take the sort of mundane thinking out of things and bring more creativity to the knowledge and experience that we have already.
Yeah, and it's especially from the teacher lens, it's about making those tasks easier, reducing planning, reducing lesson time. Too many people are worried about job replacement, but on the education level, it's hopefully going to make those tasks easier to reproduce and make the jobs that much seamless.
I think one of the things I'm most excited about for AI and the education system is I grew up, I really struggled learning. I have ADD, ADHD, all that stuff. And back when I was in school in the 80s, it wasn't that wasn't something that was recognized. And so what I'm excited about is AI being used as a tool to help kids learn more efficiently and learn the way that they want to learn,
right,
and streamline some of those processes, because it's hard for a teacher. Like, you could have, there's so many different levels on the autism spectrum. There's people with ADD and ADHD and all kinds of learning disabilities, and where AI can help is to recognize that and recognize it early in kids before maybe even the parents or doctors or teachers don't know, and help these kids get a head start on learning because it was tough for me. Like I made it all the way through. I graduated with a 1.6 GPA. It just wasn't set up for someone like me to learn. And so I'm excited to see where AI can play a part in helping kids learn better.
Personalized learning gets a whole lot easier when you're able to tap the wisdom of the world. Without a doubt. So next, local and national graduation speakers and how several of the speakers talked about AI and life. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Congratulations, graduates from anywhere. And if you graduated in the great state of Wisconsin, do your best to stay here. We would love to have you stay. We're all about recruitment retention here on The Upswing. Steve Glenn, who gave the commencement speech at your graduation?
No idea. And by the way, I'm not crying. You're crying from that music there. Yeah. I do not remember, but for some reason, I do remember who gave the commencement speech, which is my all-time favorite, at Dartmouth in 2011, which was Conan O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
I think I've seen that one.
It's amazing. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, hitting a failure point at age 47. Yeah. And his advice, it's not easy, but if you accept your misfortune and handle it right, your perceived failure can be a catalyst for profound reinvention.
Failure is the greatest teacher.
I like it. I like it a lot. I can't. My Marquette graduation speaker is a guy named James Coleman. He talked about social capital economics, and I'll fully admit I was a little fuzzy during my graduation. So I probably had a long night the night before, it was a good speech, but it wasn't. I think the next year was Barbara Bush, and they started the celebrity approach at Marquette like the year after I graduated.
Cheated.
Yeah. But it was all right. But speaking of celebrities, Jerry Seinfeld was a speaker at Duke this year, and he weighed in on passion and gave his three keys to life. We're going to have Charlotte play this clip from Jerry Seinfeld's Duke commencement speech that happened just a couple weeks ago.
Duke actually is really good. The school is the square handicap button that opens the broadhead doors to your life. Unless it's those heavy wooden doors at the West Union, those will kill you. Let go of this idea that you have to find this one great thing that is my passion, my great passion, with your shirt torn open and your heaving pec muscles. It's embarrassing. Just be willing to do your work as hard as you can with the ability you have. We don't need the heavy breathing and the outstretched arm from your passion. It makes coworkers uncomfortable in the cubicle next to you. Find fascination. Fascination is way better than passion. It's not so sweaty. I will give you my three real keys to life, no jokes, in this part. Okay, they are, number one, bust your ass. Number two, pay attention. Number three, fall in love.
There you go, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Martin Moore, do you chase passion, purpose, or fascination in your work?
Passion.
Passion?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to Jerry?
Hey, to each their own. For me, here's the difference between passion and... I always say life is like, there's two kinds of people. There's people who want it and people who get it. And you can apply this to whether it's family life or it's a career or some side hustle. There's people that want to sit in front of the slot machine and pull the lever, and they're just pulling that lever, waiting for that payout, waiting for that jackpot. And then there's other people like me who I just enjoy pulling the lever. I have a passion for pulling the lever, for just being in the seat. And I guess for me, that is just something I've always subscribed to in anything I've ever done. For me, fascination is just nothing more than just jumping from, you know, just boredom. It's a crutch for boredom. I can get fascinated in a video game or learning French, which I'm currently doing right now. Passion is really what separates people kind of on autopilot And then people like Jerry Seinfeld. And Jerry Seinfeld didn't get to where he was because he was fascinated with comedy. Right. He got there because he was passionate about it. And so,
he was skilled and he worked hard. And it's all a package.
It's,
right?
It's a fine line.
I mean, hypocritical isn't the word, but what he's preaching is the antithesis of how he got to where he is. Yeah. And so that's just me. I don't really buy into that, but...
Plays well in the speech. So, sure. Steve, do we encourage recent grads to follow their passion or just work hard and go out and make the money?
I think the best advice is somewhere in the middle, but the best advice I've heard was on a Reels, actually, and it is your job is to find something you're good at and then spend the thousands of hours of grit, sacrifice, and perseverance to become great at it.
Yes.
Because once you become great at something... all the economic, social, etc. elements fall into place.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Very, very good. All right.
These are bangers.
Yes.
These are great. Jerry had some really interesting, funny thoughts on AI. We may get to that. But I want to get to University of Wisconsin-Madison's graduation, which was a few weekends ago. It was a beautiful day at Camp Randall. Megan Dugan's speech. We'll play a couple clips from that when we come back. This is The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, and I'm Jeff Sherman.
You got a little, you can use much more.
Welcome back to The Upswing. We're looking at graduation speeches from the year on a national and local level. Quick note on the Jerry Seinfeld Duke commencement speech. Go back. You can find it on YouTube on the Duke's page. On the Duke site. But he did have a pretty funny bit on AI. We're not going to play that whole thing, but he had some interesting insights. I encourage you to listen to that. So at UW in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, my nephew graduated from Madison a few weekends ago. It was a great day. Honestly, it was like really hot in the sun, but really cold in the shade. It was one of those Wisconsin days. But the spring commencement speaker at UW was a Badger sports legend and a trailblazing leader who scaled the heights of her sport, winning the Olympic gold in hockey after two failures, but then her team won the third year. Megan Dugan was a three-time Olympic medalist who also played for the U.S. national team in 8 world championships, winning 7 gold medals. She addressed the graduates. Here's a bit from Megan Dugan and her focus on relationships.
Please take my word for it. Relationships are much more important than Olympic medals. My medals are tucked away in a Nike duffel bag somewhere under my bed, probably collecting a layer of dust right now. My connections and my friends and my family are always there for me and have been the cornerstones in my career and life on and off the ice. And they will be for you too, so don't ever forget that. As I look at the class of 2024, I know you will navigate your own story. You're leaving here with a very fancy physical diploma. But years from now, it may too collect dust somewhere. So what will you carry with you? How will your time at the University of Wisconsin show up in the way that you move through the world? I hope that it shows up in the relationships you've built on a solid foundation of respect, the choice to restart when failure finds its way into a chapter in your story, and the courage to bring your authentic self wherever you go.
Megan Dugan from University of Wisconsin-Madison graduation just a couple weeks ago at Camp Randall. It was a sold-out Camp Randall. Steve Glenn, how do you advise on mentorship around relationship building?
So, as someone who's grown up in the tech space, entrepreneurship, starting companies, the thing I take away most from all of that work is people matter. People matter. And so I encourage, I see it on LinkedIn, I see it in my texts, I see it from all ages. People sort of use their network when they need it the most, right? When they're trying to find a job. And what I take away from this speech is, after all the accomplishments, people are the common denominator around what really is truly going to help you get to wherever you're going. And if you don't put the time in, it's on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about, you hear often, especially in the younger generation, truly being your authentic self,
mm-hmm.
blending the personal and professional, bringing your authentic self to the workplace.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that something you suggest?
Absolutely. I mean, that's something, it's something that took me a while.
It takes
to
everyone
learn.
A while, though.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, you put on a facade, and we do this on social media. We do this in the workplace. You hear story after story of, you know, someone will be someone on social media, and they're a completely different person in real life. And so, like you said, blending those two things, I think, is absolutely vital to be a really, truly authentic person that stands out.
Yeah. And I tell young people, though, you have to get some cred first. You need to prove, you need to create some things that you can point to that say, I know what the heck I'm doing. And then you can start to, I've seen, you can start to slowly integrate the other side of you that you might want to bring into work.
Yeah.
And mix those together.
Yeah. And you got to present and position that in the right way and be respectful to others as you do. So, I mean, that's kind of relationship building 101. Mm-hmm. Megan had a really good point later in her speech. She said, don't ask why, but how. And her point was around a group that said, you know what? UW doesn't have a curling team. And when she was at school, she said, don't ask why we don't have one. Figure out a way to create one. Mm-hmm. And you know what they did?
I like
they
that.
They created one and won the national championship a couple years later.
That's awesome.
So always looking at, hey, it's not necessarily why stuff isn't happening, but how can we get it done? All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to look at another speech from the co-founder, or one of the co-owners of the Boston Celtics. And then we're going to dive into Jeff Ibuki's speech at UWM. The former CEO of Fiserv had some amazing takes on AI and also on success and fulfillment in life. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. We're looking at the present of commencement speeches today. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, helping us analyze the success and failure conversations that all of these wonderful speakers are presenting to graduates as they go off into the world. Did you see this speech from Robert Hale Jr., his commencement speech? He's the Boston Celtics co-owner. And he surprised more than 1,000 graduating seniors at UMass Dartmouth with a gift of $1,000 in cold, hard cash.
In a truck.
In the middle of his speech, said, you're all getting $1,000. But it comes with this caveat. The catch was the students were given two envelopes. Each had $500. One envelope had $500 to give as a gift to the students, and the other one had $500 to give them some to give to someone in need or to give to a charity or a cause that is close to them. The greatest joys, he said, we've had in our life has been able to learn the gift of giving. These trying times have been heightened. The need of sharing, caring, and giving. Our community needs you and your generosity more than ever. Hale's the co-founder of Granite Telecommunications, based in Quincy, Massachusetts. Obviously, you guys believe in the power of giving.
Yes.
But who taught you how to give?
Yeah, my grandmother.
Oh, probably. Really?
Yeah, probably that's my grandmother.
Awesome. Yeah.
I just always remember her donating money, donating time. That's one of the things, too, that I found really interesting as I became a young adult, is like when you're young, you don't have a ton of money to donate. But you don't have to – donation, in you know, that doesn't have to necessarily – be monetary. You can donate time. You can volunteer. There's lots of things you can do to be generous and give back to your community and people in need that don't involve, you know, opening up your checkbook, because not everybody has money. But if you have some time, you can mentor. You can volunteer. There's a lot of things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Time, talent, and treasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey,
all
like that.
Three of those. That's what one of my early bosses told me. Now, it's not just about, hey, I'm going to bring you to events. I'm going to encourage you to get involved in nonprofits and to get involved in committees and boards, but it's not necessarily always about cash. Obviously, if somebody handed you $500 and said, give this to the cause you care about,
sure,
I'm going to do it. And I think that's it's a wonderful
organizations
message.
Need cash. People need cash.
Always.
But they also need mentoring and guidance, and there's all kinds of things communities and people need.
That, someone to believe in them.
100%.
Yeah.
Steve, what are you seeing at kind of in the current state of philanthropy in the market, you know, from obviously your creative lens in youth symphony?
Yeah. So being at the Milwaukee Youth Symphony or MISO, what I see is a lot of more personal, let's go back to the commencement speech, right? Like personal relationships matter now more than they ever did. And people want to get more involved behind the money they give. And the I would say the third piece would be, and what I'm pushing toward heading up the marketing side, is micro donations. How do we increase micro donations?
Mm-hmm. And you can do so much of that via technology now.
Correct.
And automate it in a way that, wow, it's $5 a month or $10 a month.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't even notice it. And that's great. It's a good way to establish those principles that are going to matter as you get on in life.
Right.
And that's a wonderful idea. When we come back from the break, UWM's graduation was last weekend and featured former president and CEO of Fiserv, Jeff Ibuki. Ibuki's the current CEO of InvestCloud and chairman of Motive Partners. We're going to hear about his thoughts on AI when we come back. This is The Upswing, the future of almost everything. We'll be right back after this break. Give a little bit, give a little bit of your love to me. I'll give a little bit, I'll give a little bit of my love to you. Welcome back to The Upswing. You don't get much without giving. That is what we're exploring today. Commencement speeches on a local and national level. And when you look at what we do on the Thursday show, it's really all about conversations at the intersection of life, business, and community. We look at how do we drill down the national to the local. And we do it every Thursday with Martin Moore and Steve Glenn, two of the best in the business. So CEO, the former CEO of Fiserv Inc., Jeff Ibuki, spoke at UWM's graduation at the UWM Panther Arena last weekend and had some really interesting points on AI. So I wanted to play that clip from Jeff Ibuki at UWM's graduation last weekend at the UWM Panther Arena.
This will create unparalleled opportunity, coupled with an absolute moral and ethical obligation to deploy these technologies responsibly for this and future generations. AI is in the headlines daily. Leaders are facing tectonic shifts around the world. This is not a fad. None of us are immune. Ultimately, I expect these trends to create trillions of dollars of future value. But don't take it from me. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, said, "We are completely convinced the consequences of AI will be extraordinary and possibly as transformational as some of the major technological inventions of the past several hundred years." And to punctuate that point, Sundar Pichai, the CEO of that little tech company Google, said, "AI is one of the most profound things we're working on as humanity, more profound than fire or electricity. Make no mistake, this transformation is happening right before our eyes." One of my favorite quotes is from the comedian Milton Berle. "If opportunity doesn't knock, build a door." Life is the aggregate result of the millions of choices we make. By graduating, you've positioned yourself for more opportunity, more happiness, and hopefully more success.
Jeff Ibuki, the current CEO of InvestCloud and chairman of Motive Partners, speaking at the UWM graduation last weekend. How do we continue to create value, business value around AI, but stay true to kind of the moral and ethical code that should be within all of us?
That was a powerful speech.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm most concerned with AI is all the nefarious things that can be done with it. It's a cheat code for a lot of things. You could look at something like, just wait till you find out that someone's using AI in the stock market trying to game the system.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, I'm sure they already are. It's It's concerning. It's very, very concerning because it's going to be, it's already in every, I use it at work. It's in every facet of our lives, whether you know it or not, whether you're on an Amazon support chat or using ChatGPT or it's concerning. And there's definitely a huge responsibility. And it's one of those things where there's no going back. Like once you open that box, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. And what I would hate to see is AI turn out the way that the internet did. I always say the internet is like this 49-51, where like 51% of the internet is good, but there's another big old 49% that has just been the crux of so many problems with the human race and the human experience. And so if we're not careful, AI will follow suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that Sophia, the AI bot, gave a commencement speech?
Yeah, I saw that
a week ago.
I did not bring it all together.
No? All right.
Well, you'll have to do a search for that and find out what Sophia had to say. We're not going to play that one, but interesting nonetheless. When we come back for the final segment with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore, favorite graduation gift, and we'll explore how do we keep the graduates of Wisconsin in town, because it's our responsibility to do so, I believe. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. It's WTMJ's Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family lives in the North Shore of Greater Milwaukee, but the Mineshaft in Hartford is a staple when we want to get the kids out of the attic, get them away from the Xbox into the huge $2 million game room. Great pizza, fun for mom and dad to sit at the bar. We can tell the kids, hey, go to the Grant game room. Have some fun. Let mom and dad have some time together.
Leave us alone.
Good. Leave us alone, please. All right. Have fun. But we'll always know the kids are cool hanging out on their own in the big game room at the Mineshaft. Caller number 8 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza. The best graduation gift you've ever given or received, Martin Moore?
Received the sunroof for my 1991 Mitsubishi Eclipse that my parents gave me.
Oh, wow.
That I like stuck my head out and screamed when I finally on the day of my graduation. It's like the only thing I remember from high school.
Woo!
Yes, that's what I did.
Love it.
Given, I mean, money.
Yeah.
Giving nieces and nephews
good.
Money.
Yeah.
That's a big one when you're 18.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what my nieces and nephews asked for this year. Just give me cash, write me a check or cold hard cash.
My favorite is cash that I've got, because when you're that young and you're like getting off on the next step,
right?
Yeah. Cash matters.
Yeah. So along those lines, my favorite book to give recent college graduates is The Psychology of Money.
Mm-hmm.
The subtitle is Timeless Lessons on Wealth, Greed, and Happiness. It's by Morgan Housel.
Yeah.
Highly recommended, because it's about money and investing and personal finance, but really more about, I don't know, you know, the real world and how we make financial decisions and why.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily all on spreadsheets and laid out in a budget, especially when you're kind of finding your way post-graduation. It's a great, great book.
Oh, I love
it. It kind of capsulizes everything we've been talking about today.
A lot of people aren't self-aware about their relationship with money.
Yes. Right? Yeah, or where it stems from.
Yes.
Because you grew up in a certain way. Maybe your parents talked this way about money or that way about money.
Fears
and
comes
all
this.
In.
Yep.
Yeah,
totally. I feel like financial literacy, I've talked about this before, is just something that is not talked about and taught enough at an early age. And even in adulthood, I know a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are just as poor with their money as they were when they were 18, 19, 20 years old.
Constant learning. You always got to tackle it. But you get it early, all that much 100%. Better. So did you see the new 150 best places to live list from U.S. World?
I didn't. Please tell me Milwaukee's on it. Please tell me Milwaukee's on it.
U.S. News and World Report. Milwaukee's on it. First, let's guess what the number one city was.
Milwaukee.
You're a couple slots off with the Milwaukee choice.
Number one city. Oh, man. I've been to all 50 states and virtually every major
Nashville.
City. Definitely not Nashville. That's my guess. So what goes into this as far as the rankings? Number one, like as far as happiness or affordability, education,
job
crime.
Market value, quality of life, desirability, net migration ratings, and they use U.S. Census Bureau, FBI stats. So it's the aggregate lens. It's not just a survey from CEOs.
Are these major cities or are these like tiny little?
It's kind of all of the above. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us the answer.
Major and minor. Number one was Naples, Florida.
Last year, if you recall.
Number one was Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Was it really?
But Milwaukee slipped to 112th in the U.S. News and World Report's best places to live list. And, you know, that kind of fell out of the top 100 and makes me a little sad.
We'll fix that.
And, you know, if we're about recruitment and retention and retaining the graduates that we've been talking about today.
Yes.
Perception sometimes becomes reality with these kinds of reports. So what do we do to continue to move Milwaukee up and not down?
You mentioned in the break, but I think we need to let people know that it's okay to come back for one thing. And when they feel more secure about that, they often then go, well, then I'll just stay. It's like reverse psychology.
And if you graduate from Greater Milwaukee, it's okay, like you said, Steve, to move away, but then come back for family and anchor reasons and all the job opportunities and the wonderful things we have to offer. That's okay. Get your experience, bring it back, and then make our place a better place.
One of the things that I always tell people, especially young people when they're graduating or they're out chasing their career, is the only thing you're going to find in a bigger city like Chicago or LA or New York is more competition, more people chasing the same thing that you are. And the one nice thing about Milwaukee is that you can stand out here. There's lots of opportunity if you want it, and you don't have to look hard for it. Versus, you go to New York City, the rat race there is very different than it is in Milwaukee.
All right.
And I would add one quick thing. We need a message we're all rallying behind. It can't just be Visit Milwaukee shouting it. We need a lot more organizations on a unified message.
We'll tackle that next time on The Upswing.